With you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the Magi had departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and stay there until I tell you. Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him." Joseph rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt. He stayed there until the death of Herod, that what the Lord had said to the prophet might be fulfilled. "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been deceived by the Magi, he became furious. He ordered the massacre of all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity, 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had ascertained from the Magi. Then was fulfilled what had been said through Jeremiah the prophet. A voice was heard in Ramah, sobbing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children, and she would not be consoled since they were no more. The Gospel of the Lord. We mark today one of the most challenging aspects of the Christian faith. It gets right to the heart of how the Lord seeks to irradiate the darkness with his light, how the Lord seeks to bring good out of evil. 2 weeks ago, we marked the 5th anniversary of Newtown. There were no celebrations over what happened in that massacre by Adam Lanza. And yet today, when there's a genocide of all the 2-year-old boys in Bethlehem and younger, we celebrate it with a Gloria. What's going on? What we mark with the Holy Innocents today is ultimately the purpose of human life, that each of us is called to live for Christ and to die for Christ, to become other Christs. And before they had reached the age of reason, God gave them this grace, that when Herod was coming for Christ, he was coming likewise for them. That was the identification that the Lord had willed, and that the Lord gave them, because of that identification, the fulfillment of human life. Even though they had not been baptized, they were, in a sense, baptized in blood. And they went from the earthly Bethlehem to the heavenly Jerusalem by these satanic swords of Herod's henchmen. That's what we mark. Herod himself, even though he was half Jewish and had started out as a very religious king, building the temple, fostering the worship of the Jews, he eventually was overcome by fear to the point of paranoia, such that even though he, with the Jews, had been longing for the Messiah, soon as the Magi had come and said, "The Messiah, the long-awaited one, has been born," he responded not with religious worship, but with irreligious wickedness. And he made the command for all of them to be massacred. This was the pattern in the corruption that had occurred in Herod. He would kill his wife and his mother-in-law. He would wipe out 3 of his own sons. And when he was preparing to die, because he knew that the people wouldn't weep because of his death, he wanted them at least to weep at his death. So he rounded up all of the leading citizens, throughout the entire country, brought them to a hippodrome he had built close to Bethlehem. And when the word had come that Herod had breathed his last, he had given the commands that were fulfilled for every single one of them to be slaughtered. What was going on in the heart of Herod? Darkness was triumphing. We heard on Christmas Day in the Mass during the day, the prologue of St. John, which was light came into the world, but people preferred darkness to light because their deeds were evil. Throughout this first letter of St. John, which we'll be hearing during these 12 days of Christmas and the days in which we mark the various manifestations of the Lord in the octave of Epiphany, St. John stresses, God is light, in him there is no darkness. If we really have communion with him, we will not walk in darkness. Because he says, if we have fellowship while we continue to walk in darkness, we lie and do not act in the truth. Christ came into the world to bring light even to the darkest situations, to redeem them all. And that's what we mark today, that Christ's light came into the darkness of this massacre. And as saddened as these parents would have been when Herod's troops entered their home and changed their lives on earth forever, how much greater would be their joy that it was through that sacrifice for Christ, and in a sense, mysteriously in union with him, that their babies reached the fulfillment of Christian life. And as Quod Voltaeus said this morning in the breviary, they were holding palm branches in their hands as this was occurring. True victory. Today we pray in a special way for the Lord's light to shine in the darkness of the culture of abortion. Unlike with the Holy Innocents, we don't have a proclamation of the Church that all of those who die have died specifically for Christ and gone to heaven, but we have that great hope that St. John Paul II writes about in Evangelium Vitae 99, that as we entrust them this whole massacre to the slaughter of the Lord, that the Lord's merciful light will penetrate that darkness. Because in a sense, just like the Holy Innocents, they are dying for Christ. Because whatever we do to the least of his brothers and sisters, we do to him and he takes personally. Just like with Herod, there's often a fear behind that massacre. Fear of the future, fear of losing control. We pray for all those who are enslaved by such fear, that they might turn to the Lord and have perfect love cast out fear, so that in the midst of whatever darkness they're experiencing, they'll feel drawn more and more toward the light. The greatest way that the Lord works this dramatic turning right side up is through his passion, death, and resurrection. The worst evil that ever occurred on Good Friday becomes the greatest good of all time. And every time we celebrate Mass, we enter into that dramatic turnaround. We share that triumph, the triumph that the Holy Innocents experienced in what we heard in this Gospel, the triumph for which they are praying, that we and all those we go out and give our lives to try to save will experience with them. In that place toward which the earthly Bethlehem points. As we sing in the greatest Christmas hymns, he was born so that man may no longer die, but in fact live with God with us forever. We have a foretaste of that in the triumph we now consume. Praise be Jesus Christ. Yeah.